This your boy Rob Brandon, aka Rob the Realtor, also known as Mr. 485. I want to thank you for turning into episode 7 of I Put the Real in Real Estate Podcast. Guys, we got a special guest in the building. We have Mr. Tony Gilbert. Again, guys, we have Mr. Tony Gilbert. Mr. Gilbert is a former linebacker for the University of Georgia. He was the anchor of the Sugar Bowl champs defense that we had when we beat Florida State. Mr. Gilbert also played in the NFL. He was a draft pick of the Arizona Cardinals. He also played for the Jacksonville Jaguars. In addition to that, he played for the Atlanta Falcons. I know I'm focusing on football, but that's not one of Mr. Gilbert's greatest accomplishments. He'll tell you now, one of his biggest accomplishments is being a father. That's something he takes pride in. We're going to focus on that and some other things as well. Mr. Gilbert, welcome.
Hey, glad to be here. I've been listening. Following your podcast, you're doing a great thing. You provide a great service, educating us all. So, hey, I'm just glad. I'm glad to be on.
Not a problem. Thank you for tuning in and joining, my brother. So, I got a couple questions. The main thing about this podcast, what we like to focus on in real estate and how it relates to other people's lives. As a child, was owning a home something that was on the forefront, something you thought about as a youngster?
Well, I guess I thought about because it was because my parents definitely they owned a home. My uncles and aunts, you know, they own homes. So it's definitely, you know, something that we always, as far as me and my brother and my sister, we look forward to because we had great role models in our family that owned homes. So that was always something that we aspired to do. Not necessarily through sports, but more so through education, because both of our parents, Milton and Evelyn Gilbert, were teachers in the education system in Bibb County.
Wow. You had something a lot of people didn't have growing up. You had two loving parents, it sounds like, in the home. That definitely gives you advantage nowadays in life.
It did, and they definitely focused on education. That was the key, you know, no matter what we did in our extracurricular activities, they always let us know that education is the key. And you know how a lot of times football, basketball, and entertainers, they always say, you know, education is going to be my backup plan. But they let us know that education was the number one plan. It's never going to be your backup plan.
True indeed. I hope some of our younger listeners are listening and they factor that in when they're making – or writing out their goals. So I've known you for a while, consider you as a brother, so I'm familiar with your progression and your accomplishments in life. When you did finally purchase your first home, did it give you a sense of accomplishment?
It did, because I purchased my first home in 2004. I bought a townhouse because it was just me and my kids. I wasn't married at the time. Bought a townhouse in Atlanta. This 3-bedroom starter home for me, and I felt like it was good for me because I didn't need anything big at the time. I just needed something just to start being a homeowner. So for me, I was excited. You know, crazy thing about it, I purchased the home, then I had to go over to NFL Europe and play 10 games over in Dusseldorf, Germany. But as soon as I came home, you know, I invited my family and friends over, and you know how black folks are. We had a cookout. So we had a fish fry, and, you know, my brother them even had the gospel cookout. So, I mean, it was definitely exciting. It was an exciting accomplishment for me to be a homeowner.
So just something interesting that you said there. You purchased the house, then you had to go over to Europe for 10 weeks?
I had to go to Europe for 10 weeks. You know, in my mind, I felt like, okay, I needed this home for my kids because you never know what's going to happen in the league. You could get cut. You know, but you always need a home. You need a place to call home. And I knew Jacksonville at the time was not going to be my home. You know, me being from Macon, Georgia, I wasn't going to live in Macon. My parents was like, you know, you don't need to be in your hometown. But, you know, Atlanta is close enough, but it's far enough away so that, you know, you can get back down here when you want to. So I purchased my first home in Atlanta, and I was very confident, you know, and I felt like, okay, I am in a sense, making my parents and my family proud to be able to say I was a homeowner, first-time homeowner.
So, Mr. Gilbert, let me take you back in time a little bit. You play in the Sugar Bowl. Y'all beat Florida State. Y'all won the SEC that particular year as well. If my memory serves me correctly, you went on to play in the East-West game, which is an all-star game for college prospects that are projected to go to the NFL, the next level. And that day comes, draft day, and they call your name, or you see your name come across the screen, however it happened. Did you feel pressure from family, friends, naysayers, whoever the case may be, that you had to get a home to validate yourself? Did you feel pressure like, I got to go purchase one now?
I didn't feel any pressure because my parents, they were different in terms of, you know, how usually everybody feels like we got to go take care of mom and dad. We got to go take care of our family. My parents were like, okay, listen, we got our home. We know you're going to look out for us and give us some money or whatever you're going to give us, but you need to get yourself stable first. And I think sometimes, you know, we see athletes that go first round or go any round, they always be saying, I got to take care of my family. You do, but you got to take care of yourself first, because sometimes I think we overextend ourselves, and that's why we get in sometimes in the financial troubles that we do, because we overextend it. Because that money, even though it's long at times, it's gonna stretch and stretch, and it's only gonna stretch so far till it gets to be you're stressed out because you want to get more money. So I didn't feel that pressure. My parents was like, you know, take care of yourselves. You know, it just said take care of yourself first, and then you come back and look out for us. So I didn't feel that pressure.
So with you being a leader of men, do you feel as though some of the youth that are in that situation currently right now have problems with saying no?
I definitely feel like they have problems saying no. And it's scary because, you know, you want to help mama out. You want to help daddy out. You want to help the people out that have helped you. But, I mean, at times you got to take a step back and be like, okay, how about, and it may be not saying necessarily no, how about mom or dad, wait. Let me take care of this first, and then I'm going to take care of you. And I know it's tough because you feel like I have to do this. And it's not a have to. You feel responsible, but you just got to be smart about how you're doing things.
I definitely appreciate that. So to all the listeners out there, I highlighted some of Mr. Gilbert's college accolades. I spoke on his time in the pros. One thing that I didn't mention is Mr. Gilbert has been fortunate enough also to coach at some major universities as well. He coached at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He coached in some capacities at the University of Georgia, coached at Auburn University, coached at some high schools in Georgia, also coached at some junior colleges. Can you tell them where you're at right now currently?
I'm currently at UCF, University of Central Florida, down in Orlando, Florida.
Go ahead and tell them y'all undefeated right now, too.
We're undefeated right now. We're trying to keep this thing rolling. We got a week off right now, but we're currently getting ready for Temple, and we're just trying to keep everybody focused and on the right track.
So for all the listeners out there, I named maybe about four or five schools, and I named some other places that Mr. Gilbert coached at as well. It was a long laundry list of places. So, Mr. Gilbert, I'm going to ask you. Coaching can be a carousel. You could be at this school one year and in another school the next. Is the profession of coaching conducive to actually owning a home?
Well, it is, but it's also, you got to have, I will say this, you probably got to have a great partner. As far as, you know, your significant other, wife, girlfriend, fiance, you got to have a great partner, and especially when you're dealing with your kids, that y'all going to figure out, are we going to try to, you know, are we going to have a home that we're going to call home, or are we going to try to move around and try to purchase a home everywhere we go? Because sometimes, and I haven't fallen into this yet, but some coaches, they'll buy a house in one city, but then they move to the next job, and they got trying to purchase a house in that city, but they still got to sell that house that's in the previous city that they were living in. So it can be conducive, but you got to have a real smart plan about, okay, are we going to purchase or are we going to rent? And some people think, okay, you waste money if you rent it. You still got to have a place to stay. But then you don't want to fall into the waiting to sell a house and you actually paying mortgages on two homes. Because the coaching, even though the salaries have gotten higher and higher, you still can get stretched too far, just like we were talking about with players. Coaches get stretched too far, too, when you're paying a mortgage in one place and you're still paying a mortgage in another place waiting to sell it. So it can be conducive, but you just got to be smart and have a solid plan of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it.
So with that said, hopefully you can help us go under the hood or go behind the veil or any other term that you would like to use. So in those situations, I know you can't speak for other coaches. You can only speak for yourself. But most people that are listening to this podcast are somewhat familiar with sports. Mike Brown used to coach LeBron in Cleveland. LeBron left, he went on to coach the Lakers, I believe, for four games. He got fired after the fourth game of the season. So in those situations, let's just say he bought a house in L.A. because he signed a 4 or 5 year deal and planned to be there. Let's just say his wife was in the process of transitioning to move there. Do you see in certain situations where the coach may actually go and move to that place he's coaching, but the family, the wife, the kids, and everybody else stays behind? Is that something that's normal?
That's something that's normal because you think about the situation where you have children that's possibly in high school. Those kids might be in a great situation where they want to graduate from that high school. They build a relationship with friends in that community, and they want to stay. So, you know, that's where the husband and wife having a conversation where, okay, I'm going to go coach, and I'm going to go make this money, and I might get an apartment or something small, and we're going to have our home in the previous city. Because at the end of the day, you want to be comfortable, but you want your family, your wife and your kids, to be the most comfortable. You know, because we all know if your wife not happy, you're not gonna be happy. if your kids not happy,
right.
You're not gonna be happy. So you want to make sure, especially when they getting up in age. You know, when they're younger, it's a little different, but they get into their teenage days and their high school. Kind of want them to, you know, make sure they are comfortable.
Duly noted. So, Mr. Gilbert, how many years did you play in the league, if you don't mind me asking?
I played 7.
7 years in the league. So, I know I mentioned 3 teams. I'm pretty sure, if not you, there were some people on that team that was highly, highly, highly compensated. I'm pretty sure you had some people from a salary range, maybe in the mid-level, and then you probably had some guys that were some savvy investors as well. We focus mainly on real estate on this particular podcast, but we do delve into finances and investing in those type things. Did you see any guys, I'm not going to ask you to name anybody, but did you see guys or did you hear any stories of any guys that made bad decisions from an investment standpoint as it pertained to real estate?
Yeah, I think when guys were, you know, of course, when the market was booming, I think guys were like, okay, I'm going to buy up. But then guys made some bad decisions as far as just saying, like, and crazy as it sounds, they might take a trip to Houston and be like, oh, man, I love Houston. I'm going to get a crib in Houston. They go to Miami. Man, I love Miami, South Beach. I'm going to get a crib in Miami. And then they already got a crib in the city that they play in and probably got a crib in Georgia. So they say that's 4 cribs, and it's not. You got 4 homes that you're not only living in, but you got furnished. You got to pay the utilities. And that's just a lot of expenses. And, you know, yes, people are talking about, I got this real estate. I can always sell it and make some money. But that's still a lot of expenses, and that's still a lot of money going out.
I agree wholeheartedly. I know my other jobs I do is like to mentor young kids, males and females. And, of course, we have a lot of athletes or wannabe athletes that we speak to as well. I would be foolish not to seek some knowledge from you as you are a coach over 100 kids at the particular university that you're at right now and previous schools as well. For the moms that come up to me and ask, what does my son need to do to make sure he gets a scholarship? Or what does my son need to do to get to the league? We try to answer that particular question, but we also want to focus on the academics part as well. Are there any tricks to the trade or things that you tell these parents when you're either sitting in the house with their particular kids as you're recruiting them or the camps that you work and things of that nature?
Well, we try to get to it because I know sometimes if it gets to the home visit, it's probably too late. We try to educate kids early as far as ninth grade, having a strong, solid start when you get to high school. Because a lot of kids, and what happens, a lot of them start off slow and they try to get caught up at the end, you know, taking extra classes, trying to bring test scores up. But at that point, just in your junior, senior year, you are what you are, and you kind of playing catch-up. So we focus on telling parents and high school students to get a fresh start. Even myself, because I got teenage kids. Son, get a fresh start, a huge start, because we always know if you can get a head start on, you know, on things, you can put yourself ahead of the curve. So we always push to have a great first semester, a great first year, and then that's when you build in your habits of studying, you build in your habits of how to take tests, you just building those foundations of, okay, how school is really going to be. And to me, if you are taking care of your business in the classroom, taking care of your business on the field is going to be easy.
Okay.
It's all about really having things in line and having things in order. Sometimes, and this is saying we do, like we say to our guys, if your life is bad off the field, it's probably going to be bad on the field too.
Makes sense. It's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. I definitely thank you for sharing. Hold up, wait. I do have a text coming in from the text line that says, ask Mr. Gilbert about, it says the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure if that's college. Can you speak to that a little bit? Do you know what they're referring to?
Well, maybe they're talking about Macon. Okay. I was voted into my city's Hall of Fame. I guess it was a great accomplishment for me. You know, a lot of legendary guys came from my city. Sherrone Wright, Jeff Malone, Norm Nixon, Joe Dupree. So, I mean, for me to be voted in last year, which was 2018 in the spring, you know, it was a great accomplishment, you know, and for my parents, my family, my high school coaches, and everybody who kind of coached me, my friends, pushed me along the way, you know, so.
Well, we definitely thank you for sharing that. I don't know how we left that out of the opener, but I definitely appreciate you sharing. We want to thank you for allocating this time to us. I know you guys got a busy week coming ahead with preparation with the game. Again, on behalf of the I Put the Real in Real Estate podcast, we want to thank you for coming on, Mr. Gilbert.
Hey, one more thing I want to share. Hey, I am a college graduate. I got my degree in special education from the University of Georgia. So one thing about us, we push academics and we push education, but I was able, after I got done playing, to go back to the University of Georgia to get my degree, and my kids were able to see me graduating from college. So I'm hoping and praying that that's going to push them to go to college and graduate too. If daddy can do it, you can do it too.
Is that one of the requirements to coach, actually having that degree?
That is a requirement in college, that you got to have a college degree to be able to coach. And I think it's warranted, because how are you as a coach going to be pushing a guy to play hard and pushing a guy to take care of his classroom and take care of his academics in the classroom, and you didn't take care of your responsibilities as well? So I think it is good that we are required to have college degrees.
Definitely thank you for sharing. I really appreciate that. I thank you for your patience at the beginning with the technical difficulties. Again, Rob Brandon, a.k.a. Rob the Realtor, also known as Mr. 485. I want to thank you for tuning in to I Put the Real in Real Estate podcast. We out.